2 Timothy, chapter 2. We're still in verse 10, and we're still talking about this super endurance, or hypermeno. We remember that meno is a word that means to abide. It's the word that's translated as mansions. It's the word that defines a Seder group. It's the word that defines how many can eat the Passover. And so in my Father's house are many mansions, in my Father's house are many Seders. And so the whole mystery of the Seder is the place of abiding. And it's here the word is used as hypermeno, which means abiding beyond abiding. In one sense, it means abiding without giving any thought to it. Remember, we've talked before that faith isn't faith unless it's automatic. If you have to think about it to make it faith, then it's not faith. It's still the childish thing. All right. So the whole idea of once we understand that position, that location of sphere of abiding, then we understand that our only function, our only issue, our only thing in the universe is that we must be about our Father's business. Everything is only that. There is no, it is our only will, our only purpose is not, it's not to save people, it's not to bless people, it's not to help people. That will happen. Some will be saved, some will be blessed, some will be healed. But nothing must deter you from setting your face as flint to go up to Jerusalem. Now, most of the time, sometimes it'll be useful. Most of the time, there'll be gross ingratitude. Most of the time, you'll be blamed for others' problems if you really preach the gospel. What, Gary? You're here? Okay. We're going to talk about this. Nothing must deflect us from going up to Jerusalem. So let's start in Isaiah 50. Did you find the Rutledges?
Yeah, they finally woke up and called me. I'm a fertile field right now. I'm a fertile field right now.
Where are they?
Denton. They just, the bus was late.
Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away or divorced. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now, another we'll see in a minute, every time it uses the term, he set his face as a flint, it's always regarding going up to Jerusalem. Now, we don't have far to go now because Jerusalem is wherever we are. The new Jerusalem has descended. But unless you know the place where you're seated, then you have to return back to set your face like flint to return to that mercy seat. Now, over the weekend, what has drawn you away from the mercy seat? Since it was a long weekend, there was probably much. But this morning, can you set your face like flint to go up to Jerusalem? There is nothing else going on. What?
Well, I had that whole experience this morning. Going out there, pick them up.
Sitting there.
Sitting there for an hour, no response. And finally, I get the sleepy call from a
traveler. Oh, they were... They're in their little beds in the bus, right?
Nice and comfortable, and it was like going through all the emotions and being taken lightly and having to run those rabbits. But that, I mean, everything you're saying is... That's what happens.
You know what? We're just going to do one thing this morning. We're going to study the call of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. And he just saw this vision. And then in the last verse of chapter 1, verse 28, he says, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that speaks, or one that spake. So he just seen this incredible vision, the wheel within a wheel. And we've talked about that so many times, but it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a helicopter. Are we there yet? Ezekiel chapter 2, Mr. Ronnie. Okay, he saw the appearance and he fell upon his face. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, do you think this has changed any? How quickly each one turns to his own way. How quickly you leave the mercy seat in order to get mad at something. Verse But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll or a scroll was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. And moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this scroll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now, what does this mean? Remember, we talked first about that the husband must be first partaker of the fruit. When he looked at the roll, it was nothing but woe and mourning. It was hard sayings. And yet when he ate it, when it became meat to him, it was sweet as honey. Now this is the locust and honey that John the Baptist ate. He ate the words of the Torah. He ate the words of the prophets. He ate the words of the writings. This is what we must do. So that there is no difference between thought and word. There's no difference between lip and life. There is just oneness. That's your heritage. Scott, are you hearing this?
I'm pondering what the last sentence or two that's just the well, now that I've started talking about it, I can't recall it. I was thinking about what you just
all right.
There.
And
he's And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now again, when he looked at it, it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. It is still the same. When you read this book, when you eat this book, it is total destruction to self-seeking. So from that, his initial response to it, he looked and it was mournings, lamentations, and woe. And yet when he ate it, it was as sweet as honey. The same is true today. You've got to see this. This book destroys your ego. If it doesn't, you haven't heard, you haven't eaten. All right. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee unto them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Now that's the lesson of Jonah, remember? Jonah got mad because God sent him to Nineveh instead of to his own people. And Nineveh heard. All right. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Now it's the house, we can call it the house of Christians will not hearken unto thee. Who, do you know where I get invited back to speak all the time over the years? Has been to the atheists and the skeptics. Why? Does that make me? Anyway. What? You're doing it.
I'm just laughing at that because of profundity of the fact that they can hear something like this, where a lot of Christians don't want to hear.
Verse 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Then he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. All right, that's enough of that. So again, you got to know that if you eat the words of this book, it'll be sweet as honey to you. And the Lord will show thee wondrous things out of this book. But if you have any integrity, the slightest bit of integrity, the eating will cause the destruction of your ego. And then when you speak, some will hear, most won't. All right. Now let's go to Matthew 5. Go to Luke 9. When I make notes, sometimes I make notes and then I forget why I made the note. Okay, Jesus has just been transfigured. Verse 46, then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. Did I say Luke chapter 9, verse, now we're in 47. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto him, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Go to Revelation chapter 3. This is the message to the church in Philadelphia. What?
I said, yay. Go fill it.
Wait until you hear it all. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take it, take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, the only reason I wanted to read that was to, it's another evidence that God has sent the new Jerusalem here. And so now we do not look at everything. We know no man after the flesh. We look through everything and we see the perfection of his holiness in the new Jerusalem. We see it is finished. We see there is absolutely nothing for me to do. We see that the only enemy in time and space of the mystery of God is my mind and your mind. My emotions and your emotions. My thoughts and your thoughts. They cannot be subject to the law of God. Not only that, they are enmity against God. So don't give them any breath. Set your face as flint to go up to Jerusalem. Remember that, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You put on the Lord by sliding into. You, in the Old Testament, it talks about you flow up to Jerusalem. And you, now you slide into it. Amen? Amen? So you are they which continue with me in my temptation. His temptation has no home in human nature. The only way you can continue with him in his temptation is to remain on that mercy seat. Never leaving it for any reason. Never leaving it, whether it be hunger or thirst or buffeting or pain or sorrow. You never leave it. And therein you rest. Amen? Amen? Anybody have any response? We will continue tomorrow, if the creek don't rise, to find out about the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Take it, big guy.